time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 a.m. and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Fodius. Ceasefire is now supposed to be in effect in Gaza to pave the way for a prisoner exchange scheduled for about 8.5 hours from now. Our team coverage starts in Jerusalem. CBS's Linda Gradstein.
The ceasefire took root at 7 a.m. Israel time, and Israelis are waiting for the first group of hostages to be freed. Israeli officials warn they may face health complications and say they will be brought to medical facilities where they will be reunited with their families. Israel has said it will release 150 Palestinian prisoners, and the deal of hostages for prisoners could be extended.
But in Gaza, which has been battered from the sky by Israel since the Hamas terrorist attack into Israel a month and a half ago,
they march through the streets of Ramallah, shouting the deal between Israel and Hamas isn't enough. They want to see an end to the war on Gaza completely and the release of all Palestinian prisoners.
CBS News correspondent MTS Tayyab. With the growth of online shopping and changing habits, Black Friday is not as much of a thing here as it used to be, but it is becoming one in some countries that don't even celebrate Thanksgiving. Heinz Offert hails from Germany.
Similar thing. They are just starting to have a similar day on the same day, but not everybody knows what Black Friday is, so it's, well, different and similar at the same time.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams says he does not know the woman who's filed a legal document accusing him of sexual assault some 30 years ago.
The accusation absolutely did not happen. I don't even recall who this person is. I've never recalled even meeting them.
Adams was in the NYPD at the time. As funeral and memorial plans are finalized for former First Lady Rosalynn Carter, details of her final moments are coming into focus. CBS's Linda Kenyon tells us about them.
Chip Carter, the son of Rosalynn and former President Jimmy Carter, describes how his parents held hands the night before Rosalynn died. Then aides helped Jimmy into his hospital bed, placed feet to feet with Rosalynn's, so the two could sit propped up facing each other to talk. Chip says by Sunday, with Rosalynn no longer able to speak and with Jimmy gazing at her, she died.
There are tight elections, and then there is this.
A candidate for parish sheriff in Northwest Louisiana is demanding a recount after losing by a single vote in an election where more than 43,000 ballots were cast.
Correspondent Jim Crisula. In Ireland, there have been violent clashes in downtown Dublin after a 5-year-old girl was seriously injured in a knife attack that also left a woman and two other young children hospitalized. AAA's national average for a gallon of regular gasoline, $3.27. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. SmileTrain is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Clear skies overnight with lows around 12. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 31. A dusting of snow Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 19.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to previously recorded content. Enjoy.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin Monday, November 6th. Greg Bach in studio with me. Calvin is on the board and joining us. Delighted to see you. It's been a while. You have been on the show before. Welcome, Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. Good morning. How are you?
Well, hello, Jane. It's so good to be here. I am great. And please send my regards to Kristen as a new mom. I totally get it as a mom of a 3.5-year-old.
Oh, you have a 3.5-year-old. Oh, so you're busy, 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 too.
Still doesn't want to sleep, you know, wants to hang out all the time. And it's fun. It's fun. But, you know, the things that we're dealing with. In fact, I'm surprised he hasn't heard that I'm talking about him and running around. Hi, everybody. I mean, he's sometimes more gregarious about these things than I am.
Oh, that's great. Well, you have been busy and you're putting on some miles, aren't you?
Yes. One of the things that became very clear when I got into this role as Secretary of State was there's a lot of mis and disinformation about this role. And so
we've got to,
I know, shocker, shocker. So we are committed to traveling the state talking about the office. And, you know, I will tell you guys, when I walked into this office, I thought that it was going to be in a lot better position than when I walked into the state treasurer's office. I mean, as you guys might have heard, when I walked into the treasurer's office, there were wires hanging down from the ceiling. They cut off my Wi-Fi and they literally gave me a pay-as-you-go flip phone as a way to talk to constituents because it was clear the Republicans were like, who needs checks and balances? Let's do whatever we can. And it's very, like, it really reminds me of where I was 4 years ago with as many of the attacks and what they've done in setting up barriers for this office and not only a check and balance, but best serving the people of Wisconsin.
So you say you walked into the office with the expectations and then you saw the reality, which is disinformation and misinformation. What are some of the biggest hurdles you had to overcome in the opening days of your time there? Like, coming at you, like people just coming at you with their thoughts on the position.
Yeah, well, for starters, I mean, when it was announced that I was going to be appointed Secretary of State after Doug had been there since 1971, which is a long time.
Yeah.
And he was the longest serving Secretary of State in our nation's history.
Wow.
And so it took everybody, I think, for surprise. I mean, including myself. I mean, the governor asked me to step into this role on a Wednesday. And I immediately, of course, said, yes. I mean, when the governor, you're sitting right across the room from him and he's asking you to serve, you say, yes, I'm honored, which I totally was.
Yeah.
I just expected I would have a little bit more time to prepare for this. And when I followed up and I said, Governor, I'm honored that you have thought of me for this role, I'm like, how much time do I have to like put together my PowerPoints and like do all my research? And he's like, what are you doing on Friday? And I'm like, wait, this Friday? And he's like, yeah, 48 hours Friday. And I'm like, I guess I'm serving as Secretary of State. He's like, right answer, Sarah. So then quickly fast forward to on Friday morning, I get a knock on the door and my, you know, 3-year-old's running around and it is someone there to swear me in. And I thought it was going to be a bit more of a ceremony. I would have more time. So I took the oath of office in my Packer pajamas, which I don't think it could have been any more Wisconsin, candidly, than that.
I think if someone would have handed you like an old fashioned afterwards. Right. Oh, good job, Secretary. That's a good swearing in. That's a good swearing in.
I know. And, you know, to cap it all off, my husband's still like, what's going on here? Like, I did not comprehend. So you guys can imagine, after all of this happening very quickly, when the announcement was made, something with the mis and disinformation has been, oh, you know, this has been something Sarah's been planning. It's the big conspiracy theory. You know, I dropped out of the Senate race for this, like, glorious Secretary of State role that's in the basement.
It's so sexy. And, it's so sexy.
You know, yeah. Oh, man. I mean, why would you want to be a U.S. Senator when you can be Secretary of State? You know, I mean, it's just kind of so we were, you know, dealing with that on the onset that this has been something that we've been planning when it couldn't be further from reality when I'm just trying to figure out what this office does and just transition my life back. You know, I was in the private sector for 4 great months, and then I'm back in the public sector again. So, you know.
Well, you talk about, you know, it's definitely the perfect description of hit the ground running. So how do you put together an agenda at that point? You were talking about PowerPoints. You're like, you get in on a Friday, you find where the coffee is, and now you're like, all right, let's get going. What's the process?
Well, and that's just it, Greg. You know, with all of the partisanship and bickering going on, at the end of the day, Wisconsinites just want their elected officials to do their job. Yep,
that would be nice.
You know, they just want them to, like, get to work. And so for me, I'm like, I just am not going to engage, and I'm going to put my head down mm-hmm. and really start figuring out what should and could this role do for the people of Wisconsin. And so it was everything from, you know, boring stuff and reading state statutes. But then what's fascinating is I'm reading these state statutes and then I'm finding out we have federal responsibilities that aren't captured in state statute that, you know, working with the State Department yeah. or things when it comes to, like, you know, we keep the Electoral College or we validate and witness the presidential election. So it's like, there's these different federal statutes that weren't captured in the state. And mm-hmm. so it was kind of putting all of this together to make sure we were actually doing our job for the people of Wisconsin.
We're speaking with the Wisconsin Secretary of State, Sarah Godlewski, talking about some of the excitement, the challenges. And now you brought up elections. If you are even having your head down in the sand, you know that elections are a huge deal in this state and every state. We're 1 year away from the presidential election. What is it going to be for you to help make sure that, you know, we have very safe elections? And it's been stated there before. I guess what I'm saying is, for the state elections with this whole misinformation, disinformation thing happening, how are you going to protect our elections from those types of things in your time there?
So Wisconsin is one of, like, I think it's 10 states that the Secretary of State does not administer elections.
Oh, okay.
So we do not administer elections here in Wisconsin. It was where we are now is the Wisconsin Election Commission, which was what Scott Walker designed,
right.
Where we have 3 Republicans and 3 Democrats, and then a woman named Megan Wolf, who is overseeing all of this. But one of our unique connections is we are supposed to be working with all 1,850 clerks. And I will tell you guys, when I travel and talk to some of these clerks, like, the attacks that they are hearing, like, are experiencing hands-on, is just horrifying. And these are public servants that got into the job because they believe in making a difference, but they're getting all this pressure where if they don't believe into the, like, ultra mega kind of conspiracy theory, that then, you know, like, they're just not going to see the end of it. And so I think something that we've been working really hard on is how do we help build capacity with our clerks? And also at the same time, how are we working to address this mis and disinformation? Because it's so critical as we look at the important roles that all 1,850 play across our state.
Well, and I can only imagine in some of these smaller communities for these clerks, they know everybody in town. And the damage that this disinformation has done to relationships and friendships. And as you said, people who are acting as election officials aren't doing this either because it's such a sexy job. It's, you know, and I can't imagine it's that great of a paying job either. It's probably pretty average. So the people who actually want to do this job, I would have to think are doing it for the right reasons.
Oh, 100%. They are these great public servants that are, you know, elections isn't the only thing that they do. They're doing everything from like record keeping to marriage licenses to all sorts of different vital records that we need for our communities. And so it's really important, and we're losing them. We're not able to find replacements. And so this is something that is really important to the fabric of operations with government and honestly, the fabric of our democracy.
We only have a couple more minutes left with you, Secretary. And one of the things I wanted to touch on, when I worked in Racine for the mayor, one of the things he always talked about was economic development within the city. I know that's one of the things that you are very focused on as well. Can you speak a little bit about what you're going to be doing with regard to that?
Yeah, so one of the unique responsibilities is I now chair a $1.4 billion trust fund, and that helps to finance our public schools. So we provide an annual distribution for our public schools for books and technology. And we also do financing across the state. We help finance local community projects, and we've done that to the tail of tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions. But my colleagues across the country, these other secretaries of state, have used their international responsibilities to advocate for their state. So think about Buy Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And they've been doing like Buy Delaware. And so we know that there are so many opportunities to be advocating for our great, you know, workers and our great industries, whether we think about timber to ginseng to healthcare. I mean, there is so much that we can be doing. And so we really look forward to helping to be a part of that ecosystem, because the more people advocating for this, the better.
And I'm just curious, do you actually have a decent working cell phone now and like lights in your office?
So the question is no, we still don't. And this is why we're being scrappy. And like, honestly, we're modernizing the office, and we've got a lot more coming on. But yes, we still don't have that quite yet, but stay tuned.
Well, maybe one day. Maybe one day.
Dream big, Secretary. Dream big.
It's been wonderful having you here. She is Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. Thank you so much for carving us a little time for us today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Have a great day. Stay with us. When we come back, we're talking a little bit about turkey. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Having low income can mean making tough choices, choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Hey,
you're listening to previously recorded content. Enjoy.
Closing time. Open all the doors.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry. Galvin's on the board, Greg Bach with me in studio, and you at 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Yes. All right. Thanksgiving is going to be here in just a couple of weeks.
Can't wait.
Your favorite holiday?
No, but I love it. It starts the holidays. It starts
the official season.
Yes. I just, it's so much fun. Oh, I can't wait.
Calvin, strong feelings about Thanksgiving?
I like it. It's okay, I guess. Yeah. I like to cook, so I...
Oh.
You do?
What? Yes,
actually, the last 2 years, I've made the turkey for my family's Thanksgiving.
Oh, my gosh, Calvin.
Now, does that also include, like, making stuffing?
Usually, my mom helps out with that part. I take care of the meat.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good.
Calvin, he takes care of the meat.
We're working on a nickname for you, Calvin, so that we'll keep this all in mind. As
Calviente. That's my nickname for him. Calviente.
Calviente is good.
When Calvin gets spicy about a topic, it's great to listen to.
It actually is. All right. So Thanksgiving is Thursday, November 23rd. And I have to say, I am delighted by this trend that I think ultimately started, was it with COVID, when stores aren't open on Thanksgiving anymore, because I don't think they should be.
I think they should be open maybe in the morning, in case you forget something.
Grocery stores.
Yeah. Are you talking about like...
I'm talking about Walmart and Target.
Yeah.
And
no, those should be closed.
The big Thanksgiving Day sales and stuff. I always felt that that was really unfair to the employees.
Yeah.
And it was also disturbing to see how people would behave like animals trying to get something for $5 off.
Well, I mean, I used to work for a company. That has a Black Friday sale. So I like that kind of thing. Yeah. I think it could be fun, but it's also like, you got to make it like if Walmart said, hey, everybody, we're doing a Black Friday or a Thanksgiving thing. All of our employees make time and a half today. Like they walk away with something in their paychecks to work for the time because it's a holiday and they should. It just seems fair to me.
If they would get extra compensation.
Yes.
For it.
Yes.
Okay, I wouldn't have a problem with that. Calvin, what about you? What do you think about working on Thanksgiving?
I think, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but don't you have to get some sort of holiday pay on national holidays?
I mean, possible. I don't. When it comes to places like the Walmarts and the Amazons, I don't know if they have. Because I worked for Blockbuster Video. That's a very old reference for you kids out there. But I worked for Blockbuster Video, and I worked Thanksgiving. And I didn't get paid anything other than my wage.
Your regular pay.
Yes.
When I cooked at a nursing home, my holiday I preferred to work was Christmas Day. I preferred that over Christmas Eve and Thanksgiving.
Hmm.
Just because
of the way with my family gets together and whatnot, Christmas Day is the least exciting. Okay. Yeah.
Sure. That makes sense. Well, there's a lineup in the Today's Journal Sentinel by Claire Reed, just about what is going to be open and what is not going to be open on Thanksgiving. For the fourth year in a row, all Walmart stores across the country closed on Thanksgiving Day. They will open regular hours the day before, and then they'll open early the day after for Black Friday. Mm-hmm. But Target stores nationwide will not be open on Thanksgiving Day. Starting in 2021, they announced that they would be closed on Thanksgiving Day going forward. And then some grocery stores, too, will be closed. Aldi, Costco, Metcalf's in Tosa, and Trader Joe's, and Best Buy, Home Depot, Kohl's, and Lowe's.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if places like, you know, Target and Best Buy and Walmart close on those days. But they have employees show up to start inventorying and prepping for the next day.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
They're closed to us, but that doesn't mean people
aren't working. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
All Sendex will be open with regular hours, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. at most of their locations on Turkey Day.
Oh.
No, 7 to 9.
That's just mean.
I could see 7 to noon.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying. Is like I wasn't.
You forgot cranberries, and you got to go get cranberries.
Yep, exactly. But who's coming to a grocery store at 8 o'clock on? Even people who don't celebrate, even people who you're at home.
Well, and by 9 o'clock, haven't we all pretty much eaten by then?
We've eaten. Plus, I mean, it takes money. You got to pay those employees, pay to keep the lights on. How feasible is it for them to have all that energy happening
and all that stuff.
I can't imagine. I imagine their sales have to plummet after like 1 o'clock.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know.
I would think so too. And then there's a couple of more that will be open on Thanksgiving Day. If you need something, Milwaukee's Fresh Thyme on Pleasant Street, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's not terrible.
Yeah.
Whole food stores will have modified hours on Thanksgiving Day. And CVS and Walgreens pharmacies will be open on Turkey Day. But you want to check with your local store if there's something that you need.
I don't think Walgreens ever closes.
But their pharmacies are having problems with staff.
Actually, we were talking about this morning on the Pat Kreitlow show. Is like, I went in to get I got my COVID and my flu vaccination yesterday.
Good for you.
Thank you. I'm a hero. And I had to wait over two other people. Like, it was such a wait to get my vaccine. Nothing against them. I'm not complaining at all. I got my vaccination. It's good to go. Fine. Cool dandy. But I had to wait a while. And my guess is because they were probably short-staffed.
And I think that this is a statewide issue, again, much like childcare and healthcare and everything else. Yeah. They're getting burned out.
Yeah.
And I thought there was some talk of a potential walkout.
Yes. I don't know if it was Walgreens, but there was. I believe it is Walgreens. Yeah, because a unionizing type of thing, because they're constantly complaining to upper management about the fact that they are so short-staffed all the time.
Well, now they have to. They even close for lunch hours.
Yep.
Which they should.
Yeah. It's a half an hour, and they get a half an hour. It's not like they're taking an hour long break.
Right. Be nice to your pharmacy people.
Be nice to all your employees. It builds morale. It builds, you know, builds trust and those kinds of things. I don't know. I don't understand it. Like, I get angry. I get mad. I get mad, Jane.
don't go down the mad path, Greg.
I won't go down the mad path.
Don't go down the mad path. Again, I think this is a good trend. I'm glad to see that a lot of companies are at least giving their employees one day off, and it doesn't have to be just all about collecting more stuff.
Well, that's what I want to know is how many of them are closed versus how many of them don't have employees in the building. That's a huge difference.
It is a huge difference. Yeah. As you said, the Good Friday sales will still go on.
The Good Friday sales?
Or Good Friday sales, the Black Friday sales.
Those are great Friday sales.
I did it once with a girlfriend of mine. And we got up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I swore I would never do it again.
When I worked for Lakefront Brewery, I worked them Black Friday 2 years in a row, and I got there like 5:30. It goes fast. It goes by very, very fast.
I suppose it does.
And people start waiting there around 7 o'clock on Thanksgiving night, and it's hundreds of people show up.
Wow.
And I'm going to be in Indiana this year. Yeah, me.
All right. Well, stay with us coming up. We turned our clocks back over the weekend.
And we're still here.
And we are still here. There's an unexpected correlation, though, between turning the clocks back and something else. And we'll have all the details when we return. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting...
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Want to get out of just about anything and look like an Earth-saving hero? Just use the environment excuse. High school reunion? Ooh, sorry, can't. Planetary obligations. Unfortunate bridesmaid's dress. Unfortunately, you promised the climate you'd buy more vintage. Chauffeuring teens? Yeah, the Earth really needs them to hoof it. That's right, the environment is always the best excuse. So go ahead, ask your bae to dim all the lights because carbon emissions. Tell your dad to eat more plants. For the planet, obviously. Kindly tell the kids to stop asking for a new phone. I mean, e-waste, right? Find your out and opt in to cutting carbon.
Just visit theenvironmentexcuse.org. A public service announcement brought to you by WildAid.
Stop surfing the dial. You found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Takes the three, sidesteps left for three in the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner three. Got it again.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Brittany, how many barometers do you own? It's a meteorologist thing.
Tell us the truth.
I've got four in my house right now.
That's not terrible.
I scaled down.
How many did you used to have?
I give them as gifts now.
Are you re-gifting me a barometer, Brittany?
We're down to four. That sounds manageable.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Clear skies overnight with lows around 12. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 31. A dusting of snow Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 19.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry, Calvin on the board, Greg with me in studio, and joining us from home via StreamYard, Kristen Bry. How are you, my friend? How are you doing? You look great.
Oh, thank you.
You do.
I was just thinking that it's so gray outside, so there's not a lot of sunlight in here, so I look like the ghost of Halloween of some sort. A little pale because winter is coming.
Maybe I just haven't hung around a lot of new moms, but you look gorgeous. You don't look tired. You don't look stressed.
Well, I did put makeup on this morning, so that helps. maybe the fourth time that's happened since Frankie arrived. But, you know, when you have to look to yourself on camera, you're like, well, let's
spiff that up a little bit.
Let's zhuzh it.
Yeah, we'll zhuzh. How is the baby?
The baby's good. The baby is sleeping. She's entered the stage of she's definitely awake more during the day. But then when she is awake, she's kind of a ticking time bomb until she is wailing. And so it's like a fun little bit of her looking around, and we like look at contrast cards and we do some stuff, but she's still not really smiling or necessarily reacting. And then all of a sudden it's just
screaming.
And so, and it's like, are you hungry? No. Do you need to burp sometimes? And then sometimes she's just tired. Yeah. She just needs to be soothed and put back to sleep. Just like all of us sometimes.
Absolutely. Who doesn't want to be swayed a little bit and then go lay down for a nice nap?
I do. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Exactly. We're gonna kick things off with the good, the bad, and you found a what in your ear?
Oh God.
Yeah. Oh, it's up there with last week's House of Bad Hell story.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Well, we're going to start out with the good, and this really is a wonderful thing. Internet is being expanded all over Wisconsin.
Good.
This is good. It's part of a big push to help connect people in sparsely populated areas. $28 million project connecting thousands of rural residents and farmers in Richland, Dane, Iowa, Juneau, and Sauk counties, and an initiative to switch 1,500 Washington County residents to a higher speed service. So they're actually bringing it out now to Washington Island.
Oh, wow.
Off of Bayfield. So again, you cannot function in society today without the internet. You just can't.
Yeah.
Wait, is Washington Island off of Bayfield or is that off of Door County?
Off of Bayfield.
What's the island off of Door County that has the bitters, the bar where you can take the shot of bitters and enter the club?
Is that Washington Island? That might be Washington Island. Well, I mean, we're getting our islands confused now.
Well, and I was just thinking that because if that's Washington Island, I have been there. And I will say, I don't know what, there's not a lot there. And so I think it would not be my thought as far as the priority of extending internet, because it's a lot of trails. And certainly, I mean, the bar that you go to and you get the bitters club, maybe they would benefit from some internet because they're a business. But when I think about so many of the different areas in Wisconsin that certainly need it, because there's schools and houses and commercial establishments and such. And so when I think of Washington Island, I think of like recreational camping and like there's a beach that has all these like really flat, smooth stones, but you cannot take the stones. It is illegal to take the stones.
Ooh, stone police.
Challenge accepted. Washington Island is in Door County.
Yeah, is in Door County. Okay. And there are 700 people who live there year round.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Learn something new.
And now they're getting some internet, baby.
Yeah. But again, I can't even imagine what a struggle it must be just for kids trying to do homework, parents trying to pay bills, connecting with, you know, Zooming with friends or whatever it is that you want to do. So that's all good news. That is certainly a step in the right direction, although there are still about 246,000 homes and businesses that lack access to internet speeds, and I don't know what this means, of 25.3 Mbps.
Means fast enough.
Yeah.
Not fast enough.
It's fast enough to not be buffering every time you want to watch anything on YouTube.
Can you imagine how maddening that would be?
Can you imagine?
I mean, that's what we all used to do, right? Yeah. Remember that, like, this was not so long. I mean, it is. It's like 15 years now. But I remember having to download entire episodes of, like, when the first time I was ever watching The Wire, downloading an entire episode and then come back and watch it. Versus the entire idea of streaming and just being frustrated when it isn't seamless.
Well, I mean, back when I first got on the internet, when I was like 17, if you just wanted to watch like a scene from a movie, you'd have to download it for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
And you could sign up AOL. You could only like, there was no such thing as like broadband. It was dial up only. And
dial up.
You had to pick like your plan, like how many hours a month do you want? Do you want 24 hours? If you go to 25 hours, we'll destroy you with charges.
Yeah. That is remarkable when you think about how far this technology has come so quickly. Again, considering the dial-up, oh my gosh, that we didn't all just snap. Now we would all snap.
Oh, it'd be hilarious.
Right?
I wish I could have it by memory. Like, I wish I could just go straight into the dial-up tone, but I think I would butcher it and know it. And it's not an attractive sound. Yeah. It's very much the dumber, dumber, do you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world? And I'm not going, as an audio medium, I'm not going to do that to people.
I think that's wise.
I will do my one dial-up impression that I do have. It's not the dial-up tone. It's just when you signed on, you've got mail. That sound made you feel so, because there was not really junk mail at the time. They hadn't gotten themselves together in the late 90s. So if you got email, it was from someone who wanted to talk to you.
Yes, absolutely.
And it was amazing.
It was amazing. All right. Well, that is the good. Moving on to the bad. Again, it's a little bit of both. Wisconsin State Senator Rachel Cabral Guevara, a Republican from Appleton, is talking about the child care crisis and the child care situation that we're in with not enough providers and the expense of it. And she has said that she has talked to people who are only charging $2.25 an hour for child care.
Wait, what?
Yeah. During an October 18th hearing for the GOP bills, she said, I had folks coming in. I was asking them, how much are you charging an hour for childcare? And some of them told me $2 to two and a quarter an hour. And I said, well, maybe you need to increase your prices.
Did she think she heard $225 and not $225 an hour?
No, I think she heard $225.
There's nothing that makes my heart happier than when any political official, especially Republicans, say, I've been talking to people.
Many people are saying.
A lot of people are telling me.
I mean, and now you know you've been exploring this, right, Kristen? You're starting to look around for providers.
Well, we're going to do a nanny share. Okay. So we have friends whose kid is 14 months, and they've been doing a nanny share with another family for the last year since they had their kid and went back to work. And their nanny feels like she's confident she can take another baby on. And so we'll be doing that with two other families. And so she charges, when it's three kids, she charges $13.50 per kid.
An hour.
And so when it's just her one-on-one with a kid, she charges $22.50.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I didn't even know nanny share was a thing.
It is a thing.
Wow.
It's a little bit more flexible, at least what we're setting up. It's a little bit more flexible because some of the things with daycare is you have to be full time. Mm-hmm. Like if your kid is sick or if any other kids are sick, like there's just because they're bigger. Right. And so like the precautions that have to go into place when there's more kids involved and everything. And, you know, the regulations as it is 1 to 4 for infants. So I can't even imagine that, like having one crying infant right now and then being a daycare provider or a childcare provider and having four kids under one that you're in charge of. And that, like, that is normal, or that is, like, even beyond that, that one of the solutions that's been offered is, like, well, we should up the ante. We should be like, oh, they can take care of six.
Right.
Because that's listed as one of the reasons why childcare has gotten so expensive is because of regulations, right? And one of the regulations being, based on age, how many kids one person can reasonably look after. And I'm just saying right now, if you ever put me in charge of four babies, good luck getting that baby back.
having
all four of them, I mean, you only got two arms, so the fact that they can barely hold one, let alone four.
We have a friend of ours who owns two daycare services up in the North Shore, and she told us when we first got married, she goes, and when you have a kid, they'll get free daycare from me. And neither Bridget and I want Ted, nor do we want now children,
right?
But we did look at each other going, that's a pretty good deal. I mean, that's some savings right there. We could save for college or something. That's, if anything, the bragging rights.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is a lot of money.
Yeah.
It is a lot of money. Okay. And again, I don't doubt that there are maybe some childcare providers in some of the smaller rural communities where someone is working out of her house that she can charge $2.50 an hour. But that is not the experience of most people. And no. I think it's terrible that a child care provider is only making two and a quarter. You can't live on that.
There's a part of me that's like also saying, I don't believe you.
I know. I have a hard time believing that. And if she heard it from one person, then she heard it from one person who's in a very unique situation where they can charge that and are probably maybe independently wealthy or have a spouse that is covering the cost of a lot of things.
Right.
Because that is just, I mean, that's not even a cup of coffee. That's not even a grande Starbucks coffee.
That's less
that's
than what
drip coffee, not a latte. A drip coffee at Starbucks is like $3.50.
That's less than what a server makes. That's less than minimum wage for a server too. I mean,
oh yeah,
that's not a.
But you know,
I want more questions. I want more follow up questions of whoever wrote that article.
Well, we can do that.
I do like you're enough. It's not even a drip coffee. That's your Starbucks to.
No, it's not even a fancy coffee. It's just drip. It's just the big, the most, the best margins you'll ever get is as a coffee business is like, oh, we made 5 gallons of coffee and we're going to charge you $3.50 per cup, even though it cost us about 5 cents to make.
Oh, now I want some coffee.
But again, I just find it interesting that this is supposed to be a positive because, well, look at how affordable this is. If they're, you know, if they're only charging two and a quarter for daycare, that is not a positive for the daycare provider that you can't make a living like that.
Well, if you deregulate it, then everything's fine, Jane.
just as many kids as you can handle.
Yes.
That is not a, that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. It's also a recipe for neglect, or especially once they're walking around, like, yeah. And you know, you have like over one is 1 to 6 or 1 to 7. And I'm just saying, like, trying to watch toddlers, like, that's the next challenge that I'm not necessarily looking forward to. Right now, it's like, she can just be in there and I can go about my business.
Now, when
toddlers, not so much.
When you have to say, oh, where is she?
Yeah. Once she starts motoring, it's gonna be a whole different world.
When you start debating, do we get a child leash?
I was gonna ask you about that.
But they have monkeys on them.
I can understand why parents do that. I mean, there is a range where you cannot reason with these little people, right? Don't run in the road.
Children and terrorists. You can't reason with them.
But you can. It's like, don't run in the road. I'm going to go run in the road because I am a toddler. And so I can see why people would leash their children.
Leash their children.
Leash their children.
No judgment.
Oh, I think you said leash your children. I just wanted to get the good parking.
Oh,
never mind.
No, different kind of thing. All right. Well, and just out of curiosity, if you are paying for childcare, text in how much you pay an hour. I'm really, really curious.
Yeah.
From all over the state, whether you're listening in the Northwoods or Amory or Wisconsin Rapids, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. It's falling asleep at the wheel.
I'm looking at a text from Lynn.
Oh.
Lynn sent us a text. It was a nice one. She said, Washington Island, best fast food. Schoolhouse Beach, watch the drop-off, and definitely a challenge if you have bad needs.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Lynn. And she quit. You're texting us a lot, Lynn. I think your phone's going crazy.
All right. When we come back, you found a what in your ear?
I'm not looking forward to this.
Oh, it's a dandy. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bryant. 10 minutes before 11 o'clock, Greg Bach with me in studio, Calvin on the board, and new mom Kristen Bry joining us on StreamYard. If you want to watch the live stream, you can always find it on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. I'm not going to call it that other thing. I refuse.
You totally called it that the other day.
I know. I slipped, and I will never forgive myself. Bite me, Elmo. Anyway, we were taking some texts on how much you pay for childcare. I'm just curious. And Michael checking in, he says $255 a week for a newborn in northwestern Wisconsin. And that's low end compared to what other people pay.
That is low, especially if it's full time.
I mean, for a newborn?
Hours, you know, 9 to 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then Sarah says, leashing your kids is nothing new My 68-year-old father still tells stories of his parents leashing him to the clothesline so he wouldn't run off.
That's funny.
I would do that.
You would do that. I would. I could see that.
Or duct tape, you know.
How was babysitting, Jane? Easy.
Easy. It was super easy. I knew where she was the entire time. All right. The good, the bad, and you found a what stuck in your ear? This is in Missouri. 29-year-old Desiree Kelly woke up at 5 a.m. on October 18th with a strange fluttering sensation in her right ear. Initially, she thought this was just a tassel that's on the comforter, and she went back to sleep. But when she woke up, she considered going to urgent care. She almost talked herself out of going because she thought, this is all in my head. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm tired. But her fiance begged her to go in, so she went to the urgent care. This is when Desiree said she's waiting in the waiting room, and I felt something move in my ear. It felt like something was at the base of the eardrum. In that moment, I was convinced it was wax. And I started crying, one, because it was uncomfortable. Two, I was embarrassed that they're going to look in my ear and tell me it's wax and tell me I'm doing a terrible job cleaning out my ears. That is not what happened. A nurse noted something in the ear and told her, well, it definitely isn't a moth. She had never even considered it could be a moth. Not a moth. The nurse tells her it's curled up in the back. Now the nurse started treating the ear while you irrigate it with water. And then they have a bowl underneath you. We dump the bowl probably three times. And then she goes over to the sink to get more water. While she's refilling the bottle, I felt it moving at the back of my ear. And she rushed over telling me, put the bowl up to your ear, quick. That's when she saw a black object fall out of your ear onto a sweater. It was a spider. I watched something jump from my shoulder to the ground, and then I watched it crawl away. That's when I realized it was a spider that was still alive. I was looking at it. It wasn't small. It was about the size of a nickel. Luckily, there was no damage to the eardrum, no medication, and additionally, this is good news. Her ear free of spider parts and spider eggs, which is always how you want that to wrap up. But now she said, essentially, she will never go to sleep now without wearing earplugs.
Is that what we're all supposed to be doing? Is just to prevent this from ever happening? Because I know it's not common, but
it's happened before.
I just want to know how it stays alive in your ear, like how it doesn't like get suffocated or crushed or something. Like it can't seem like a hospitable environment. To be crawling, Kristen, to be crawling inside of your ear, just doing this all the time, just trying to gross her out.
No, I can tell.
Well, I feel like, was this originally a TikTok?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw this one. But I also saw it the first time, it was like 3 a.m. as I was nursing Frankie. And I was like, oh, God. Because I don't know. It's funny because I think Todd Alba is starting to do What's Worse as a segment every day. And this, which is, you know, is a little bit like, would you rather? And it's like, would you rather have a spider in your ear moving around or compared to what? Like, or compared to last week, where would you rather be in a house full of thousands of bats?
I think I'd rather
inescapable
spider because
probably
bats requires
spider.
A shot,
rabies,
and the whole thing. Although, I mean, hey, if they get some money from Airbnb, I don't know.
They're both pretty bad.
They're not.
Is this what we're gonna do now every week? Let's just find a story to just completely disgust Kristen. The good, the bad, and make Kristen go,
oh, that was creepy. It might be. All right, what's coming up for the rest of your day today, Mama Bri?
Well, we're still trying to get on a schedule of some sort. But the next big thing is I'm going to try to take her to the grocery store because I'm going to try to make some lactation cookies.
Fun.
Have like oatmeal and a bunch of stuff in there. Because I saw you guys have Mr. Matt Wild coming up next. And I saw that they, which is so on brand for Milwaukee Record to be doing a casserole cook-off.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so, but I cooked a casserole last night. And so I'm kind of in a cooking thing right now because cooking feels like something I can do because she really likes the carrier, like the soft carrier where she's on my body. But because like just putting her and leaving her in the bassinet, I think she just wants attention sometimes.
Sure, yeah.
And so what can I do when the soft carrier, like with her on me, it's kind of a workout, but it's like I can cook. So so those are probably cooking some cookies that are somewhat healthy is coming up for today. Maybe going for a walk if it doesn't rain.
Looks like rain let up.
A little bit.
All right. And then I don't know, attempting to do some other to-do list type things, but you know, always optimal word being attempt.
Yeah.
Well, all you can do is try, right? All you can do is try.
I just want to say really quickly, Bridget made some they weren't casseroles, but they were very wintry comfort foods. She made chili. Her chili is amazing. Then she made a cream of chicken, I guess a casserole, but it's just not in the casserole dish with mushrooms. And then she made marinated steak stroganoff.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So all in one day?
She made two in one and then one the next day.
Does she freeze them so you just have them for whenever you want?
They're gone in a week.
Oh.
Yeah. We plow through those immediately. And she'll make, I don't know, probably like 5 gallons of chili throughout winter. She just makes it and that's it. Nice. It's amazing.
All right. Well, stick around. We have the news coming up next, followed by Milwaukee Records' Matt Wild will be joining us. Thank you so much, Kristen, for checking in with us. We will see you again next Wednesday at 10:33. Give the baby a squeeze from us.
Will do. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Don't go away. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of...
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
What if your next breath is your last breath? Jesus said that no one is good except God alone. Paul wrote that no one is righteous, not even one. Isaiah says we all, like sheep, have gone astray. At First Baptist Church of Wisconsin Rapids, we believe there is hope of life after death in Christ alone. Historic faith. Prayer, fellowship, virtue, the preaching of the word. Visit firstbaptistwr.com.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic